Just grab your finger, you'll find so many bugs. Within our area, no?
Yes, they stay. Yeah. This is chapter 2, Bhagavad Gita. Sanjaya Vacha, Tam Tata Kripaya Vishtam, Ashrupona Kulekshanam, Vishidantam Idam Vakyam, Uvacha Madhusudana. Sanjaya said, seeing Arjuna full of compassion and very sorrowful, his eyes brimming with tears, Madhusudana Krishna spoke the following words. Report. Material compassion, lamentation and tears are all signs of ignorance of the real self. Compassion for the eternal soul is self-realization. The word Madhusudana is significant in this verse. Lord Krishna killed the demon Madhu, and now Arjuna wanted Krishna to kill the demon of misunderstanding that had overtaken him in the discharge of his duty. No one knows where compassion should be applied. Compassion for the dress of a drowning man is senseless. A man fallen in the ocean of nations cannot be saved simply by rescuing his outward dress, the gross material body. One who does not know this and laments for the outward dress is called a Shudra, or one who laments unnecessarily. Arjuna was a Kshatriya, and this conduct was not expected from him. Lord Krishna, however, can dissipate the lamentation of the ignorant man, and for this purpose the Bhagavad Gita was sung by him. This chapter instructs us in self-realization by an analytical study of the material body and the spirit soul, as explained by the Supreme Authority, Lord Sri Krishna. This realization is made possible by working with the fruitive being situated in the fixed conception of the real self. Text 2. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Kutastva Kasmalamidam Vishame Samupastitam Anaya Justam Asvagyam Akriti Karam Arjuna. The Supreme Personality, Bhagavan, said, my dear Arjuna, how have these impurities come upon you? They are not at all befitting a man who knows the progressive values of life. They do not lead to higher planets, but to infamy. Purport. Krishna and the Supreme Personality of Godhead are identical. Therefore, Lord Krishna is referred to as Bhagavan throughout the Gita. Bhagavan is the ultimate in the absolute truth. Absolute truth is realized in three phases of understanding, namely Brahman, or the impersonal or pervasive spirit, Paramatma, or the localized aspect of the Supreme within the heart of all living entities, and Bhagavan, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. In Srimad Bhagavatam, this conception of the Absolute Truth is explained thus. Vedanti tatva vidas tatvam yajganam advayam brahmati paramatmati bhagavan iti shabyate. The Absolute Truth is realized in three phases of understanding by the knower of the Absolute Truth, and all of them are identical. Such phases of the Absolute Truth are expressed as Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. 1.2.11. These three divine aspects can be explained by the example of the sun, which also has three different aspects, namely the sunshine, the sun's surface, and the sun planet itself. One who studies the sunshine only is the preliminary student. One who understands the sun's surface is further advanced, and one who can enter into the sun planet is the highest. Ordinary students who are satisfied by simply understanding the sunshine, its universal pervasiveness and the glaring effulgence of its impersonal nature, may be compared to those who can realize only the Brahman feature of the absolute truth. The student who has advanced still further can know the sun disk, which is compared to knowledge of the Paramatma feature of the absolute truth. And the student who can enter into the heart of the sun planet is compared to those who realize the personal features of the supreme absolute truth. Therefore, the bhaktas, or the transcendentalists who have realized the Bhagavan feature of the absolute truth, are the topmost transcendentalists, although all students who are engaged in the study of the absolute truth are engaged in the same subject matter. The sunshine, the sun disk, and the inner affairs of the sun planet cannot be separated from one another, and yet the students of the three different phases are not in the same category. The Sanskrit word Bhagavan is explained by the great authority Parasara Muni, the father of Vyasadeva. The Supreme Personality who possesses all riches, all strength, all fame, all beauty, all knowledge, and all renunciation is called Bhagavan. There are many persons who are very rich, very powerful, very beautiful, very famous, very learned, and very much detached, but no one can claim that he possesses all riches, all strength, etc., entirely. Only Krishna can claim this, because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No living entity, including Brahman, Lord Shiva, or Narayan, can possess opulences as fully as Krishna. Therefore, it is concluded in the Brahma Samhita by Lord Brahma himself that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No one is equal to or above him. He is the primal Lord, or Bhagavan, known as Govinda, and he is the supreme cause of all causes. Ishwara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadi Radi Govinda Sarvakaranam Karanam. There are many personalities possessing the qualities of Bhagavan, but Krishna is the supreme because none can excel him. He is the supreme person, and his body is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. He is the primeval Lord Govinda and the cause of all causes. 5.1 Brahma Samhita. In the Bhagavatam also there is a list of many incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but Krishna is described as the original Personality of Godhead, from whom many, many incarnations and personalities of Godhead expand. Ate chamsa kalapumsa Krishna stu Bhagavan swayam Indrari vyakulam lokam ridayanti yuge yuge. All the lists of the incarnations of Godhead submitted herewith are either plenary expansions or parts of the plenary expansions of the Supreme Godhead, but Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. 1.3.28. Therefore, Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, the absolute truth, the source of both the Supersoul and the impersonal Brahman. In the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Arjuna's lamentation for his kinsman is certainly unbecoming, and therefore Krishna expressed his surprise with the word kutas, where from. Such unmanly sentiments were never expected from a person belonging to the civilized class of men known as the Aryans. The word Aryan is applicable to persons who know the value of life and have a civilization based on spiritual realization. Persons who are led by the material conception of life do not know that the aim of life is realization of the absolute truth, Vishnu, or Bhagavan, and they are captivated by the external features of the material world, and therefore they do not know what liberation is. Persons who have no knowledge of liberation from material bondage are called non-Aryan. Although Arjuna was a Kshatriya, he was deviating from his prescribed duties by declining to fight. This act of cowardice is described as befitting the non-Aryans. Such deviation from duty does not help one in the progress of spiritual life, nor does it even give one the opportunity to become famous in this world. Lord Krishna did not approve of the so-called compassion of Arjuna for his kinsmen. Text 3. Klaibhyamma smagama pata naitatvaya upapadyate shudram hridayad Dobalyam Chakto Votishta Parantapa O son of Preta, do not yield to this degrading impotence. It does not become you. Give up such petty weakness of heart and arise, O chastiser of the enemies. Purport. Arjuna was addressed as the son of Preta, who happened to be the sister of Krishna's father, Vasudeva. Therefore, Arjuna had a blood relationship with Krishna. If the son of a Kshatriya declines to fight, he is a Kshatriya in name only, and if the son of a Brahmana acts impiously, he is a Brahmana in name only. Such Kshatriyas and Brahmanas are unworthy sons of their fathers. Therefore, Krishna did not want Arjuna to become an unworthy son of a Kshatriya. Arjuna was the most intimate friend of Krishna, and Krishna was directly guiding him on the chariot. But in spite of all these credits, if Arjuna abandoned the battle, he would be committing an infamous act. Therefore, Krishna said that such an attitude in Arjuna did not fit his personality. Arjuna might argue that he would give up the battle on the grounds of his magnanimous attitude for the respectable Bhishma and his relatives. But Krishna considered that sort of magnanimity not approved by authority. Therefore, such magnanimity, or so-called non-violence, should be given up by persons like Arjuna under the direct guidance of Krishna. Arjuna uvacha katam bhishmam ham sankhye dronam cha madhusudana ishubhi pratiyodshami hujaha arishudana. Arjuna said, O killer of Madhu, Krishna, how can I counter-attack with arrows in battle men like Bhishma and Drona, who are worthy of my worship? Support. Respectable superiors like Bhishma, the grandfather, and Dronacharya, the teacher, are always worshipable. Even if they attack, they should not be counter-attacked. It is general etiquette that superiors are not to be offered even a verbal fight. Even if they are sometimes harsh in behavior, they should not be harshly treated. How then is it possible for Arjuna to counterattack them? Would Krishna ever attack his own grandfather Ugrasena or his teacher Sandipani Muni? These were some of the arguments by Arjuna to Krishna. Text 5. Gurun hatvahi mahanubhavan trayo bhaktam bhaksham apihaloke advata kamams tu gurun ihaiva Bunjia Bogan Rudhira Padigdan. It is better to live in this world by begging than to live at the cost of lives of great souls who are my teachers. Even though they are avaricious, they are nevertheless superiors. If they are killed, our spoils will be tainted with blood. According to scriptural codes, a teacher who engages in abominable action has lost his sense of discrimination and is fit to be abandoned. Bhishma and Drona were obliged to take the side of Duryodhana because of his financial assistance, although they should not have accepted such a position simply on financial consideration. Under the circumstances, they have lost the respectability of teachers. But Arjuna thinks that nevertheless they remain his superiors, and therefore to enjoy material profits after killing them would mean to enjoy spoils tainted with blood. Text 6. Nachaitad vidma kataran no gariyo yadvad jayema yadivo nad jayayu yaneva hatva nad jijij vishamas devastita pramukhe datarashtra. Nor do we know which is better, conquering them or being conquered by them. The sons of Dhritarashtra, whom if we killed we should not care to live, are now standing before us on this battlefield. Support. Arjuna did not know whether he should fight and risk unnecessary violence, although fighting is the duty of the Kshatriyas, or whether he should refrain and live by begging. If he did not conquer the enemy, begging would be his only means of subsistence. Nor was there certainty of victory, because either side might emerge victorious. Even if victory awaited them and their cause was justified, still, if the sons of Dhritarashtra died in battle, it would be very difficult to live in their absence. Under the circumstance, it would be another kind of defeat for them. All these considerations by Arjuna definitely prove that he was not only a great devotee of the Lord, but that he was also highly enlightened and had complete control over his mind and senses. His desire to live by begging, although he was born in the royal household, is another sign of detachment. He was truly virtuous, as these qualities combined with his faith in the words of instruction of Sri Krishna, his spiritual master, indicate. It is concluded that Arjuna was quite fit for liberation. Unless the senses are controlled, there is no chance of elevation to the platform of knowledge. And without knowledge and devotion, there is no chance of liberation. Arjuna was competent in all these attributes, over and above his enormous attributes in his material relationships. You want to go in short, Prabhupada?
That's the end part.
Kapanya dosho pahate svabhava Pichchami tvam dhamma samudha chaita Yachtreya sya nishchitam bruitan me.
Taitajima Katarano Guriyo Yadva Dema Yarivano Dayeyu Yane Vahatva Nazijiva Sama Vivastika Pamuke Vajrasa. Lord, we know which is better, conquering them or being conquered by them. The sons of Dhritarashtra, whom if we kill, we should not care to live.
The servants. So you can come here, that side. Oh.
They're going to guard you, Srila Prabhupada.
Guard me? Why?
From the rays.
No. You're on that. You sit down. In this side, you can.
You can sit over here.
To the rays.
Yes, that's right. No, no, sit over this side.
Sons of Dhritarashtra, whom if we killed, we should not care to live, are now standing before us on this battlefield. Purport. Arjuna did not know whether he should fight and risk unnecessary violence, although fighting is the duty of the Kshatriyas, or whether he should refrain and live by begging. If he did not conquer the enemy, begging would be his only means of subsistence. Nor was there certainty of victory, because either side might emerge victorious. Even if victory awaited them and their cause was justified, still, if the sons of Dhritarashtra died in battle, it would be very difficult to live in their absence. Under the circumstances, that would be another kind of defeat for them. All these considerations by Arjuna definitely prove that he was not only a great devotee of the Lord, but that he was also highly enlightened and had complete control over his mind and senses. His desire to live by begging, although he was born in the royal household, is another sign of detachment. He was truly virtuous, as these qualities, combined with his faith in the words of instruction of Sri Krishna, his spiritual master, indicate. It is concluded that Arjuna was quite fit for liberation. Unless the senses are controlled, there is no chance of elevation to the platform of knowledge. And without knowledge and devotion, there is no chance of liberation. Arjuna was confident in all these attributes, over and above his enormous attributes in his material relationships. Karpanya dosho pahatasha bhava vrichchami tam dharma samudha cheta yachtreyasyan nishchitam bruhitanne shishasteyam shayimam tam papanyam. Now I am confused about my duty and have lost all composure because of weakness. In this condition, I am asking you to tell me clearly what is best for me.
Now I am your disciple and a soul surrendered unto you. Please instruct me. Report. By nature's own way, the complete system of material activities is a source of perplexity for everyone. In every step there is perplexity, and therefore it behooves one to approach a bona fide spiritual master who can give one proper guidance for executing the purpose of life. All Vedic literatures advise us to approach a bona fide spiritual master to get free from the perplexities of life which happen without our desire. They are like a forest fire.
You can discuss amongst yourself that you have approached a spiritual master. What is that?
Therefore, it behooves one to approach a bona fide spiritual master who can give one proper guidance for executing the purpose of life. All Vedic literatures advise us to approach a bona fide spiritual master to get free from the perplexities of life which happen without our desire.
So, with that, you have approached a spiritual master that you can discuss. This is the necessity of approaching a spiritual master.
Necessity.
It must. But with Gara, Tamsa, Guru, we are here.
Shotriyam Brahmanishtha.
So, whether you have got a spiritual master who can guide you, but for guidance, what is stated there?
What is stated next?
No.
Oh, whether we've got such a spiritual master.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Because that we have to discuss.
It says the qualification is that he frees one from all perplexities of life. So we are practically experiencing that. That by following the instructions of our spiritual master, all our perplexities are vanished.
Samsara Dharma Namavita Loka. There's one text you described, the very first thing when one follows the instructions of a spiritual master is that he's freed from all different kinds of material difficulties. He immediately feels some relief from material existence. The first sign of a bona fide spiritual master.
Material desires, material perplexities are like a forest fire that somehow blazes without being set by anyone. Similarly, the world situation is such that perplexities of life automatically appear without our wanting such confusion. No one wants fire, and yet it takes place and we become perplexed. The Vedic wisdom therefore advises that in order to solve the perplexities of life and to understand the science of the solution, one must approach a bona fide spiritual master who is in the disciplic succession. A person with a bona fide spiritual master is supposed to know everything. One should not, therefore, remain in material perplexities, but should approach a spiritual master. This is the purport of this verse. Who is the man in material perplexities? It is he who does not understand the problems of life. In the Garbha Upanishad, the perplexed man is described as follows. Yo vaita raksharam gargyam avit vasma lokat kaiti sar kripanam.
He is a man. Avidityaja prayati sa prana. Etat avidityaja prayati sa eva kripanam.
He is a miserly man who does not solve the problems of life as a human and who thus quits this world like the cats and dogs without understanding the science of self-realization. This human form of life is a most valuable asset for the living entity who can utilize it for solving the problems of life. Therefore, one who does not utilize this opportunity properly is a miser. On the other hand, there is the Brahman, or he
do not know even what are the problems of life. People are so uneducated. They do not know what is, what are the problems of life. They do not know. What generally people think the problems of life.
How to get more money. How to get more sense gratification. It's a big problem.
Your America has got so much money, has it solved all the problems? Our Amrish Maharaj will answer.
What is the question to you about him?
Question is that your forefathers and fathers have got so much money, whether it has solved the problems of them?
No, it hasn't solved any of their problems.
He is the best. He could have personally owned this palace and live very luxuriously. He has got the means, but he did not like that. He gave it to the Vaishnava. So money cannot solve the problem. That is not.
This is a very logical argument of preaching. When you tell them that the standard of happiness is not material happiness, people are willing to accept because they see that they're not becoming more happy.
They think like that, but that is not the solution to the problem. Discuss on this point.
They think like that because of false propaganda. So if we counter attack with the right propaganda, people will hear it.
So why you cannot? Right propaganda. You should. You are preaching. You must lead them and must convince them. And simply getting money is not the problem.
Sometimes they say that it's not to have more and more money, but we have to go to school so that we can go get some job, otherwise how will we live? But we tell them that we haven't done anything for 8 years, we haven't worked, and we have that
we
nice
are not
home.
Attending any job.
No. We're living better than that.
And still we are living very comfortably.
Another proof is even when there's austerities, we do not mind to accept it because there is a higher pleasure.
Yeah. We have greater pleasure that this austerity will please Krishna. So he must do it. Our aim is how to please Krishna. That is our method.
On the other hand, there is the Brahmana, or he who is intelligent enough to utilize this body to solve all the problems of life. The Kripanas, or miserly persons, waste their time.
The real problem of life, birth, death, old age, and disease. They do not understand. They are so just like animals. Animals does not understand what is birth, death, old age, and disease. Real problem is there, but they are so dull-headed that their attention is diverted from the real problem. Temporary problems that is just like one major disease. One is suffering from a major disease. On account of that, he has sometimes headache, sometimes pain here, sometimes so many, minor. So, because we are subjected to meet death, so these minor conditions are there. The real problem is, after suffering, when the body is no more able to bear suffering, it dies. Just like one man commits suicide, when he cannot control himself from the suffering, he voluntarily commits suicide. So death is the ultimate suffering. But we do not want suffering. The problem is death. But who is anxious to solve this problem? They are not intelligent. Janamai Sigara Bhad, Yudhishthira Goswami. Do not know even what are the problems.
They say that's life.
Huh?
They say that's what life is.
Life is to die?
Yes. They say this is natural.
So why you are afraid of death?
Then they say, I'm not afraid.
Is that mad? Yes, they say like that. Everyone is afraid of death.
They say, I don't mind to die as long as I can just finish up one or two things first, then I don't mind.
Death will wait for your finishing. Death will come, it will not wait. It will become less intelligent.
Very much so.
Mula. The general description is given in the Bhagavad Gita. Mula. Human intelligence required to understand this problem. But because they are murha, and the rest of the human, simply like animals, eat, drink, be merry and enjoy. Naradhama. You do not solve the problems simply like animals dancing.
Kripanas, or miserly persons, waste their time in being overly affectionate for family, society, country, etc., in the material conception of life. One is often attached to family life, namely to wife, children, and other members, on the basis of skin disease. The Kripana thinks that he is able to protect his family members from death, or the Kripana thinks that his family or society can save him from the verge of death. Such family attachment can be found even in the lower animals who take care of children also. Being intelligent, Arjuna could understand that his affection for family members and his wish to protect them from death were the causes of his perplexities. Although he could understand that his duty to fight was awaiting him, still, on account of miserly weakness, he could not discharge the duties. He is therefore asking Lord Krishna, the Supreme Spiritual Master, to make a definite solution. He offers himself to Krishna as a disciple. He wants to stop friendly talks. Talks between the master and the disciple are serious, and now Arjuna wants to talk very seriously before the recognized spiritual master. Krishna is therefore the original spiritual master of the science of Bhagavad Gita, and Arjuna is the first disciple for understanding the Gita. How Arjuna understands Bhagavad Gita is stated in the Gita itself. And yet foolish mundane scholars explain that one need not submit to Krishna as a person, but to the unborn within Krishna. There is no difference between Krishnas within and without. And one who has no sense of this understanding is the greatest fool in trying to understand Bhagavad Gita. Nahi prabhashami mama panudyad yaj chokam utchoshanam indriyanam avapya bhuma vasapatnam ridham rajam suranam apichari patyam. I can find no means to drive away this grief, which is drying up my senses. I will not be able to destroy it, even if I win an unrivaled kingdom on the earth, with sovereignty like the demigods in heaven. Report. Although Arjuna was putting forward so many arguments based on knowledge of the principles of religion and moral codes, it appears that he was unable to solve his real problem without the help of the spiritual master, Lord Sri Krishna. He could understand that his so-called knowledge was useless in driving away his problems, which were drying off his whole existence. And it was impossible for him to solve such perplexities without the help of a spiritual master like Lord Krishna. Academic knowledge, scholarship, high position, etc., are all useless in solving the problems of life. Help can only be given by a spiritual master like Krishna. Therefore, the conclusion is that a spiritual master who is 100% Krishna conscious is the bona fide spiritual master, for he can solve the problems of life. Lord Chaitanya said that one who is master in the science of Krishna consciousness, regardless of his social position, is the real spiritual master. Kiba vipra kiba nyasi shudra kene noi ye krishna tattva veta se guru hai. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, chapter 8, text 127. It does not matter whether a person is a vipra, a learned scholar in Vedic wisdom, or is born in a lower family, or is in the renounced order of life. If he is master in the science of Krishna, he is the perfect and bona fide spiritual master. So without being a master in the science of Krishna consciousness, no one is a bona fide spiritual master. It is also said in Vedic literatures, Shat karma nipuno vipro mantra tantra visharada a Vaishnava guru nasyad Vaishnava svapacho guru. A scholarly Brahmin, expert in all subjects of Vedic knowledge, is unfit to become a spiritual master without being a Vaishnava or expert in the science of Krishna consciousness. But a person born in a family of a lower caste can become a spiritual master if he is a Vaishnava or Krishna conscious. The problems of material existence, birth, old age, disease, and death, cannot be counteracted by accumulation of wealth and economic development. In many parts of the world, there are states which are replete with all facilities of life, which are full of wealth and economically developed. Yet the problems of material existence are still present. They are seeking peace in different ways, but they cannot achieve real happiness. But they can achieve real happiness only if they consult Krishna, or the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, which constitute the science of Krishna, or the bona fide representative of Krishna, the man in Krishna consciousness. If economic development and material comforts could drive away one's lamentations for family, social, national, or international impurities, then Arjuna would not have said that even an unrivaled kingdom on earth, or supremacy like that of the demigods in the heavenly planets, would not be able to drive away his lamentations. He sought, therefore, refuge in Krishna consciousness, and that is the right path for peace and harmony. Economic development or supremacy over the world can be finished at any moment by the cataclysms of material nature. Even elevation into a higher planetary situation, as men are now seeking a place on the moon planet, can also be finished at one stroke. Bhagavad Gita confirms this. Kshine kune martyalokam vishanti. When the results of pious activities are finished, one falls down again from the peak of happiness to the lowest status of life. Many politicians of the world have fallen down in that way. Such downfalls only constitute more causes for lamentation. Therefore, if we want to curb lamentation for good, then we have to take shelter of Krishna, as Arjuna is seeking to do. So Arjuna asked Krishna to solve his problem definitely, and that is the way of Krishna consciousness. Sanjayo vacha, Eva muktva rishikesham gudakesha parantapa nayotsya iti govindam uktva tushnim bhubhuvaha. Sanjaya said, having spoken thus, Arjuna, chastiser of enemies, told Krishna, Govinda, I shall not fight, and fell silent. Report. Dhritarashtra must have been very glad to understand that Arjuna was not going to fight, and was instead leaving the battlefield for the begging profession. But Sanjaya disappointed him again in relating that Arjuna was competent to kill his enemies, Parantapa. Although Arjuna was for the time being overwhelmed with false grief due to family affection, he surrendered unto Krishna, the supreme spiritual master, as a disciple. This indicated that he would soon be freed from the false lamentation resulting from family affection and would be enlightened with perfect knowledge of self-realization or Krishna consciousness and would then surely fight. Thus Dhritarashtra's joy would be frustrated since Arjuna would be enlightened by Krishna and would fight to the end. Tamuvacha Rishikesha Prahasaniva Bharata Senayor Ubayor Madhye Dashidam Tamidam Vacha. O descendant of Bharata, at that time Krishna, smiling in the midst of both the armies, spoke the following words to the grief-stricken Arjuna. Report. The talk was going on between intimate friends, namely the Rishikesha and the Gudakesha.
Motorboat.
That's bad.
Yes.
And that fault.
As friends, both of them were on the same level, but one of them voluntarily became a student of the other. Krishna was smiling because a friend had chosen to become a disciple. As Lord of all, he is always in the superior position as the master of everyone. And yet the Lord accepts one who wishes to be a friend, a son, a lover, or a devotee, or who wants him in such a role. But when he was accepted as the master, he at once assumed the role and talked with the disciple like the master, with gravity, as it is required. It appears that the talk between the master and the disciple was openly exchanged in the presence of both armies, so that all were benefited. So the talks of Bhagavad Gita are not for any particular person, society, or community, but they are for all, and friends or enemies are equally entitled to hear them. Sri Bhagavan Vacha, Ashochyanan Vishochastam, Pagyavaram Stripashase, Katasuna Katasumscha, Nanushochanti Pandita. The Blessed Lord said, while speaking learned words, you are mourning for what is not worthy of grief. Those who are wise lament neither for the living nor the dead. Report. The Lord at once took the position of the teacher and chastised the student, calling him indirectly a fool. The Lord said, you are talking like a learned man, but you do not know that one who is learned, one who knows what is body and what is soul, does not lament for any stage of the body, neither in the living nor in the dead condition. As it will be explained in later chapters, it will be clear that knowledge means to know matter and spirit and the controller of both. Arjuna argued that religious principles should be given more importance than politics or sociology, but he did not know that knowledge of matter, soul, and the Supreme is even more important than religious formularies. And because he was lacking in that knowledge, he should not have posed himself as a very learned man. As he did not happen to be a very learned man, he was consequently lamenting for something which was unworthy of lamentation. The body is born and is destined to be vanquished today or tomorrow. Therefore, the body is not as important as the soul. One who knows this is actually learned, and for him there is no cause for lamentation, regardless of the condition of the material body. Natvevaham jatu nasam natvam neme janadipa nachaiva nabhavishyamaha sarve vayam taparam. Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. Report. in the Vedas, in the Katha Upanishad, as well as in the Shvetashvatara Upanishad, it is said that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the maintainer of innumerable living entities in terms of their different situations according to individual work and reactions of work. That Supreme Personality of Godhead is also, by His plenary portions, alive in the heart of every living entity. Only saintly persons who can see within and without the same Supreme Lord can actually attain to perfect and eternal peace. Nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitananam eko bahunam yogadhati kaman tam atmastam yenupashanti tiras te sham shanti shashvati netre sham. The same Vedic truth given to Arjuna is given to all persons in the world who pose themselves as very learned, but factually have but a poor fund of knowledge. The Lord says clearly that He Himself, Arjuna, and all the kings who are assembled on the battlefield are eternally individual beings, and that the Lord is eternally the maintainer of the individual living entities, both in their conditioned as well as in their liberated situations. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the supreme individual person, and Arjuna, the Lord's eternal associate, and all the kings assembled there are individual, eternal persons. It is not that they did not exist as individuals in the past, and it is not that they will not remain eternal persons. Their individuality existed in the past, and their individuality will continue in the future without interruption. Therefore, there is no cause for lamentation for anyone. The Mayavadi theory that after liberation the individual soul, separated by the covering of Maya or illusion, will merge into the impersonal brother.